Very good. Jed, we are set and ready to roll to all of you. Welcome to the MediaBids Power Hour. We're always delighted to have participants to our call. We've been running these calls since 2006. We have had literally tens of thousands of participants over the last three-plus years. Some of our calls have been in the hundreds of participants, and we're really delighted to have all of you throughout North America, throughout the world. And I do want you to know that we have newspapers, magazines, publications. Some of you are trade. Some of you are business-to-business. Some of you are B2C. Some of you are free publications. We have a whole cross-section. But the reoccurring theme is always that you're in the advertising space business, whether it's print, online, or hopefully a combination of both. So this is the MediaBids Power Hour as all of you are getting settled in. Jeff, I'm going to start with an introduction of myself, and then I'll pass it to you, and then we're going to roll right into our program today. Is that okay?
Great.
Wonderful. So today we're going to be working on pay-for-performance ad sales. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the publishing business for 20-plus years. I began in the mid-'80s, and for the last 12 years, we work with and coach more than 600 publishing companies in 8 time zones around the globe of all different kinds, and we help them drive their revenue, create more profitability, compete better, and even the buying and selling of publications. And Jed and I met back in 2006. I've been extremely impressed with he and his team and the work that MediaBid is doing, and I am really excited to be here today. So, Jed, I'd love to have you introduce yourself, and then I'm going to say a few things about the key points we're going to cover today, okay?
Okay, great. Well, first I want to thank Ernest. He's really what makes these teleseminars worth listening to. He's got a vast range of experience when it comes to all aspects of publishing. I started MediaBids about 9 years ago, and essentially what it is a marketplace for the buying and selling of newspaper and magazine advertising. We use online tools to sort of facilitate sales, and we have about 5,000 publications that participate, about 14,000 advertisers that participate, and we're able to sell a lot of ads in publications, especially to advertisers who otherwise may not be buying. And one of our explorations, one of the tangents that sort of occurred about a year and a half ago was we began to get advertisers that were more internet-based in their marketing budgets, and that sort of led to some of what we've done in per inquiry, which is where a lot of the information we'll talk about today has come from. But before we get into that, I'll throw it back to Ernest.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jed. This is really a pleasure. So today we're going to be talking about pay-for-performance ad sales. Our first point, we're going to be talking about the online pay-per-click model. Why has it been successful? How does it tie into Yahoo and Google? Point number two, we're going to talk about what is pay performance, what kind of companies are involved, how do the results compare to generating results and revenue, and then number three, we're going to talk about how does the model actually work and what are the potential drawbacks in the per-response ad. So there's three key points we're going to cover. Let me again clarify that you can send a response to Ernest@PowerHour.com during the course of this call, and we will field those real-time. We already have questions in-house. Or just hit reply to the confirmation or the reminder note that it took that gave you the information to get here, and my team and our team will be filtering those, and we will be able to handle those real-time, okay? So our call is very, very interactive. Related to this topic, just as we're getting started here, I want all of you to know we did a topic, we did a call like this back in 07. And we promise you to continue to come back and share with you trends and share with you updates related to this. So, Jed, no doubt, I know you have lots of insight. So let's get rolling on point number one. Tell us why this model has been so successful with companies like Yahoo and Google. Why does it work so well? And, of course, what can print publications do to compete?
I mean, basically just to sort of make sure we're all talking about the same thing. I mean, essentially what we're talking about here is pay-for-performance ad sales. And in the context of online advertisers, what that generally means is pay-per-click or, in some cases, pay-per-view. In the context of other mediums, generally it's pay-per-response that's measured through some mechanism, such as an 800 number. But in general, what we're talking about here are sort of a group of advertisers who pay for the response that's generated as opposed to paying for the real estate that they're buying. You know, one of the things that Google and Yahoo have done so well is they've been able to take the idea of pay-per-click and make it accessible to, you know, an enormous range of advertisers, and at the same time, you know, generate enormous amounts of revenue from it, because in many cases, and, you know, a lot of this is sort of broad generalizations, but in many cases, you know, these are advertisers who feel comfortable with the idea of paying for a customer, paying for an action that a customer does or a potential customer does. You know, in the case of pay-per-click, people are clicking on keywords, being brought to that advertiser's website, and you know, in some sort of fundamental way, it feels good for an advertiser to be paying for someone to visit their site, as opposed to be paying for space on a page. You know, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that it's that for many advertisers, that's an equation which makes a lot of sense.
And Jed, if I could just pause right here, this is Ernest. I don't want to skip over, for those of you that are both listening and participating here today, there's a very important point related to pay for performance in general. I've been around publishing a very long time. Many of you in this call have. And Jed, of course, lots of experience around the publishing and advertising world. If we roll the clock back 10 and 15 and 20 years, I think we can all remember walking in to go handle an ad renewal and hearing the words right out of the gate, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. My ad's not working. I'm not renewing." Okay.
Right.
And I must say, Jed, I really didn't enjoy those renewal meetings. And then I learned how to get a little better and how to navigate that. But what's really happened over the last 10-plus years, and I know there's some of you on this call that do a lot of work with phone tracking and call tracking. I've actually worked with some of these call tracking companies, in some cases, for more than a decade. So I'm probably the world's expert in call tracking in addition to or understanding publications. But because there's phone tracking and call tracking in place, and then when you combine that with the ability to have unique URLs and web tracking and web results, I want all of you to know, and you've heard this before, we're in the single greatest time in the history of advertising and for advertising sales. Your publication should be growing like a rocket. Your commission should be growing nonstop. For those of you that are the owners or presidents of your companies, you should be seeing an influx of new revenue and cash flow like you have never experienced if you're doing it right. I know my clients are, no doubt. But the key point here is this piece about tracking has set the stage between web tracking and phone tracking that we're really able to engage and really talk about this pay for performance, right, Jed?
Right, and you know, and just to reiterate, I mean, you know, the typical way that a salesperson understands response that's generated from an ad is by, you know, asking the advertiser, you know, and saying, you know, how did the ad work for you, you know, and sometimes that means, you know, you certainly there are some advertisers out there that are good at measuring response, you know, even if it's sort of unscientific, but they're you know, they have a good way of sort of understanding. But most of them don't have any real idea. It's just sort of gut feel. You know, the person who answers the phone, for example, you know, will tell them, "Boy, we got a lot of calls from the ad in the Penny Saver." We didn't get any calls from the ad in the Tribune or something. You know, it's all sort of unscientific. You know, and what Ernest is referring to, and really what you know we'll get into a lot more is that, you know, by putting unique 800 numbers or in some cases URLs into a print ad, you know, it introduces a level of sophistication with print that is more common on the internet. You know, it's more common with Google and Yahoo, for example. But it's something that can be applied to print, and it can be applied, and it can be, you know, and it can be worthwhile for many different reasons.
Absolutely. So that really is a nice segue, Jed. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of pay-for-performance models exist, and no doubt the Yahoo and the Google examples are ever so present. Frankly, they are eating into the lunch of publications in print, but publications in print that are doing a nice job on the website are able to compete very aggressively. So what can we learn from the models? What can you tell us about the Google and Yahoo models?
Well, I mean, I think, I think obviously, I mean, everyone knows about, their enormous success. And I think, one of the things that we find, because we talk to a wide variety of advertisers, probably more than more so than the average sort of geographically based based publication, and what you very often find is that there are a whole group of advertisers who have really grown up within the era of Google and Yahoo. They began advertising on pay-per-click. They began their marketing careers, using these search engines as a primary tool for marketing. The thing that they primarily like about it, there's really two things that they like about it that you don't often find in print, and that is number one, they're paying for something which is measurable. They're paying for whether it's clicks. Or in the case of banner ads, views, they're paying for something which they can look at and they can put into a spreadsheet and they can say, okay, for this, this many clicks equals this many sales, and this many sales equals this much revenue, and it's worth it, or it's not worth it, But they can make that decision in a relatively straightforward and scientific way. So that's a big advantage online has traditionally had. The other advantage is ease of buying. One of the things that we hear a lot is advertisers who are interested in buying print, but to replicate what they can do, in a relatively short amount of time on Google and Yahoo. Becomes difficult because they have a lot of work to try to replicate that in print. That's probably a little off topic of this call, but those are sort of the two main features that Google and Yahoo bring. And don't underestimate, there really are advertisers out there. I mean, it sounds crazy, who just don't understand. Right, that most print publications are still, are still selling space. It's not a concept which they are all that familiar with. I mean, it sounds counterintuitive because print's been around the longest, but they're buying their internet-based advertising this way. They're buying television in many cases this way. They're buying radio this way. There are most mediums have sort of opened up to a per inquiry model, if not in whole, then at least in part, and that's sort of opened the way for these advertisers to use these measuring metrics to really understand what their marketing dollars have done.
And Jed, if we could just pause right here, this is Ernest, because in just a moment I'm going to have you talk about pay-per-call versus pay-per-acquisition. But I want all of you to know that the advertising world as we know it has really changed. There's a wonderful woman that I went to high school with. We go back that far, Jed. And I knew that she had went to work for really a top five ad agency out of college, and she went to work in Chicago, and she was actually the representative, Jed, who handled a little bitty company retail outside of Chicago called Sears. Okay, and it was all about building brand and long-term relationships and continuity and all these fancy-dancy words for basically we splat our ads everywhere, we don't know really what's working, but we're building brand. It was the older school, and that went on, by the way, for about a decade. For the last decade, she's the global marketing director for a little bitty company that does $1 billion a year in producing treadmills. So for all of you or any of you that have ever seen a treadmill or own a treadmill, about 90% of that market is generated by, or the actual equipment is produced by one company. And she's the global marketing director under all the different brands. And we were chatting just the other day, and I was saying, boy, you've really seen now she's buying advertising, Jed, rather than you know, in the advertise, you know, the ad agency world. And
right.
I said, you know, I'm sure you've seen changes. She says, oh my gosh, Ernest, it is about show me the money. I laugh when I think about the campaigns we used to do for Sears, you know, 10 and 15 and 20 years ago. She said, it is all about pay for performance, pay for click, direct targeted TV. We know exactly when a TV ad hits, exactly what's happening. We're watching it real time. She says, we don't spend a nickel. She says, here I am working for a $1 billion company with factories and people all over the world, and everything has become down to an exact science. It has changed tremendously. And so I'm sharing that with all of you because you have to look at the collective thought process of the consumer and how they're responding. By the way, we as consumers, how we're responding. You have to think about the collective process of the way ad agencies and the shifts that they're making. I gave you just a quick example. You have to think also big picture and look at what the Internet has provided for us, the Googles, the Yahoos, and how quickly we can gain information and what the impact has been. And so as you're thinking about your own publication, magazine, newspaper, to bring it right back to earth, right back to where we are, also recognize that as you're working with your advertisers, their mindset has shifted. So when we talk about, in general, phone tracking, 800 numbers, unique URLs, all of this clickability and reportability, you have to have all that in place. But, of course, that's also the reason why we're here talking about pay-for-performance kind of advertising, okay? Let me, again, just pause. We'll be fielding questions throughout the course of this call. Just ping an email to ernest@powerhour.com or just hit, reply to the email that got you here, that gave you the phone number, and send us your questions, and we'll field them throughout this call. Jed, there are already questions in-house. I'm going to sprinkle them in where appropriate, okay? But I've already got them sitting on the screen, and we'll tuck them in here as we roll here, okay?
Great.
So, Jed, say a few words about pay-per-call and pay-per-acquisition or sale so that those that are listening here today can understand specifically what we're referring to.
Right. So you know, there's a few ways to try to set up a pay-per-performance campaign. And, you know, and when we talk to advertisers about it, you know, generally it sort of falls into a few categories. What we mean by pay-per-call is that the advertiser in general is willing to pay for a phone call. They're willing to pay for usually it's for a prescribed amount of time, and they're willing to pay, based on what they're selling, a certain dollar amount for every call that they receive. So, for example, you know, an advertiser that's selling a high-margin product would probably be willing to pay a lot more per call than an advertiser that's selling a low margin product. If an advertiser is only making a couple dollars on every sale, then that translates into what a call ends up being worth to them. And so that's pay per call, and usually it's just what it sounds like. The advertiser is willing to pay for a call that's being for a prescribed amount of time. And sometimes it'll be 15 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, and essentially you do that just to try to weed out wrong numbers and people just having fun. So that's pay per call. The other way of doing it is pay per acquisition. This is, as it sounds, this is sort of a model which assumes that the advertiser is paying for an advertiser's action. In most cases, it's buying the product that they're selling. For example, Vonage is one of our customers, and they pay $102 every time someone signs up with Vonage. So it doesn't matter how many calls they get. They could get 100 calls and make 100 sales, or they could get 1,000 calls and theoretically only make 2 sales. You know, this method of doing things is a little more fraught with danger, only because you're no longer getting paid for specifically what you can control, on some level, making the phone ring. You're getting paid not only for making the phone ring, but secondarily, you're also sort of banking on their call center. And if the call center is not effective and the call center does not close, does not make the sale at a reasonable rate, then everyone suffers. And that's a tough thing to measure. We have some clients that are extremely good and they have a very predictable close rate. And we have other clients that, you know, that are not nearly as good and swing more wildly in terms of their close rate, which is frustrating because, you know, it means that the publication is not being rewarded to the extent that, you know, that they should be. Those are the two sort of big buckets. You know, the other thing that you sometimes run into is what's known as pay per lead, and usually that is sort of a just kind of an extension of a pay per call where the advertiser is willing to pay based on the caller giving some information. So, you know, commonly it might be, you know, name and phone number, you know, as opposed to sort of making an entire sale. They're willing to count it as a payable event. They're willing to count the call as long as they can extract a couple pieces of information from the caller.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Jed, this is Ernest. Let me just pause right here. So for those of you that are listening here today, if you have any specific questions about pay-per-call or pay-per-acquisition, please ping an email to ernest@powerhour.com. I'm seeing, again, more questions rolling in here, so we'll continue to work those in, Jed, as we're going forward here. I wanted just to clarify, though, on this point, so say just a little bit more about why companies are interested in buying ads like this. What's in it for them? Why are companies interested in making this sort of direct response kind of ad?
Right. Well, for many companies, you know, that are advertising specifically to generate response, as opposed to sort of a branding type campaign, you know, they generally have call centers or websites which are built to sell. They have a very clear idea of what their close rate is. You know, this is their primary method of generating customers. They tend not to be products that you can buy in a store or find in a bricks and mortar environment, and they use whatever mediums they can to try to drive customers to this call center, because that really is their entire revenue model is to sell to people who,
right,
who respond to their products.
Okay, so let me tuck in a question that we received from Sasha, who says, so what do you see as the future for pay-for-performance? In other words, will it be around, you know, in years to come from your perspective?
I mean, I think this is just my opinion. I think that it's how advertising will evolve. I mean, I think that Google and Yahoo have sort of let the genie out of the bottle, and I think it's tough to go back. I think that more and more advertisers are willing to, expect a certain degree of response from the ads that they place. They're expecting a certain return on their investment when it comes to their marketing dollars, and they've become more sophisticated. You know, as Ernest mentioned earlier, you know, the idea of being able to tell someone the response that their ad generated, that's commonplace. You know, that's something that anyone can do, using online tools, and it's something that I think more and more advertisers will come to expect. That's just my way of thinking about it.
No, I agree. I love when you said the genie out of the bottle, Jed, because you're absolutely right. And there are those of you that I know that are on this call that are like, been there, done that for Ernest for the last 5 and 10 years. We've been doing phone track and we've been doing web track. We got it all dialed in. We produced monthly reports, quarterly reports, this quarter compared to the same quarter last year. I mean, for those of you, high five, you're busting. And I'm going to tell you, your revenue is busting as well, because you are mowing over your competitors. For any of you that are competing with newspapers, publications, magazines, those that have got their whole print model and internet model all woven together, you have one fierce and tough competitor there. You will not topple them until you get your own piece and your own house in order. For those of you that are on this call, or for those of you that are listening to this call at a future point in time, if you do not have it in place, you are about 5 years or more behind the rest. and behind the best, and you are not going to thrive, and you may not survive. I'm going to tell you, when I'm working with my clients and we put these strategies in place that we're talking about here, not a week goes by in the course of a year that we don't have one or two or more competitors closing out somewhere around the world. And frankly, the strategies that we're talking about here directly relate to that. But our call today is tied to pay for performance. But you really have to take the nugget from this call also that says, how accountable am I? How much do I really know about the results that my advertisers are getting?
Right, and as Ernest said, I mean, just to elaborate on that, you know, it doesn't, you know, what we do is kind of taking what Ernest said to the next degree in terms of, you know, allowing advertisers to pay based on the response that's generated for them. But what Ernest is saying, you know, is applies to, you know, the conventional selling of advertising. You know, so to the question, I mean, I think that maybe 5 years from now, newspapers and magazines aren't running, you know, only per, you know, pay per performance ads. You know, maybe, you know, there are some reasons why they can be difficult and a difficult way of sort of charging advertisers. But either way, you can bet that that the response that's generated by those publications is going to factor more greatly into an advertiser's appetite to continue to advertise.
Absolutely. And I want to just address a question that just came in from Dawn, who says, does the advertiser provide the unique 800 number to be used in the ad? The answer is, Dawn, no. It's provided by the publications. We're the media, advertising, and marketing experts. That comes from us. If not, do you pass along the cost of the unique 800 number per minute charges as well? The answer is yes and no. It depends on your business model. I will tell you that most of our clients roll that cost in to their actual rate card and make it transparent. If you set it apart and then you have to have an advertiser make a separate buying decision for that, you're missing the point. I would like to see it rolled in. There are only a few exceptions where I've got clients that break it out for some very select reasons. But I will tell you that generally it's rolled in. And you pause and say, well, wait a minute, those are new expenses. I thought you said, you know, this will make us money. All you have to do is go back and tell me over the last 12 months the total dollars annualized that you've lost in dropped advertising. Okay? That's all you have to do to roll back. And I had a client do this up in the Pacific Northwest about a month ago, and they said, Ernest, it's about $1.2 million in lost revenue. I said, and your phone tracking will run you what? We think maybe 20 grand or 30 grand tops to pull it off. It's like, well, you tell me what the return on that investment is.
Yeah, maybe it'd be worthwhile just for people who don't have experience with it to just talk quickly about the mechanics of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell you what we do here, mm-hmm. and there's other ways of doing it.
No, please, say a few words about that, and I'll certainly contribute to that.
Yeah, I mean, you know as much or more than I do. And so basically, you know, there are lots of services out there, and your local phone company might be one of them, mm-hmm. that can provide this for you. That allow you to essentially grab 800 numbers whenever you need them. You know, so there's a big bank of 800 numbers through these services that you can get. These 800 numbers you can take sort of whenever you want, and then you can use them in an ad. You can then take that 800 number and forward it to any number that you'd like. So here at MediaBids, what we do, you know, many, many times a day, is a publication will call us up and say, hey, or send us an email and say, we want to run this per inquiry ad. We then apply a unique 800 number to that ad. That 800 number is ringing at the call center of the advertiser that's being run. And that number can be pointed anywhere. So for the person who's calling, for the consumer that sees the ad, picks up the phone, and makes the phone call, they dial the 800 number. That's really the property of MediaBids, but it rings through at the call center of the advertiser, and it's a completely transparent sort of operation.
Right.
You can't tell that it's been forwarded.
Absolutely, and I'm seeing some questions that are coming in. Tell us more about, you know, companies and services and providers and tracking. And for those of you that are interested in that specifically, send me a note. We'll address that offline. There are at least a dozen or more companies that provide that and put it in place in a wide spectrum of fees and services and so forth, okay? But the bottom line is that it's very transparent. That number goes into the ad rather than the actual phone number. It transparently links it into straight into that place of business, into their office lines, into their switchboards, and boom, the call gets captured, recorded, and tracked every step of the way. Okay?
Right.
All right, so let's circle back then. I want to move to the second point here, Jed, and I want to talk about companies. What kinds of companies, I know we've mentioned a few here, LifeLock and DirecTV and Vonage, are looking to advertise using pay-for-performance, and what kind of results are they generating in print publications, and how do those results compare, you know, to the online and radio and TV and other mediums? So let's go down point number two, if we could.
Right, okay. So you know, as I mentioned, you know, we've been doing per inquiry in print for about the last year, and we have many different kinds of customers. You know, some of the bigger names are LifeLock and Vonage and DirecTV, Dish Network, and they are all, as I mentioned earlier, they're all call center based companies that that use a variety of different mediums to get people to call. The actual sale takes place via the call center in almost all cases. And so their challenge is just to drive greater and greater volume to their call center. The, you know, prior to them working with us, in the case of all of those companies, they essentially had almost a zero print budget. Not because they felt that print wasn't a good medium for them, but they weren't going to go out and buy the space that would require that would be required for them to do it. It sort of broke their marketing model that we mentioned earlier, where they really have sort of become married to the idea of paying for a specific response event to occur. So what appealed to them about pay-per performance print is the same thing that appeals to them about Yahoo and Google and, you know, and many of the other opportunities out there, that it just becomes a cost-effective way for them to drive greater volume to their call center. The you know, what sort of happened in the online world is that as companies like Yahoo and Google have evolved and developed and just sort of matured, the way in which they handle their pricing has sort of lent itself to the cost of pay-per-click becoming, in some cases, very inflated. You know, they use, not to get into too much detail, but they use sort of an auction system in which advertisers essentially tell Google and Yahoo what they're willing to pay per click, and Google and Yahoo then serve or put at the top of the heap the ones that will pay the most. So when you look at your search results page and you see the sponsored listings usually on the right-hand side, you know, the guys at the top are paying the most and relatively obvious. But as a result of that system, you know, keywords that, you know, that 5 or 6 years ago advertisers were paying 10 or 20 cents for, they're now paying, you know, in some cases, $20 or $30 for. So it's really become, really become inflated. Now, what happened is that, you know, 5-10 years ago, print seemed, as you know, seemed sort of untouchable because it was not only for the space model, you know, because print publications were selling in, you know, selling for space, but also in comparison to some of the online models, it became a very difficult it became difficult to justify the expense. Today, you know, what almost all of our customers say is that, you know, they're willing to pay more for response generated through print than they are through other mediums, because the value is greater. The leads that are generated through print tend to be better qualified leads, and the leads that are generated tend to result in greater sales. You know, for example, LifeLock is just, you know, they're just one customer, but they're kind of an interesting example. They, you know, they pay in print publications through us, they pay $27 for a 1 minute call. Online, they pay $9 per sign up. So they believe that out of every print ad, every print response they receive, they believe that they're getting actually four more responses that aren't being measured in some way. Either people are bypassing the phone number and going to the website, or they're telling a friend about it, or they're, you know, they just believe that they're much better qualified leads. Also, the close rate is much higher. So
Jed, let me just pause here, and I just want to thank. I've got a cross section of questions that have come in. I've got Jamie, Greg, Don, Brian, Rex, Dean,
that must mean
and Jennifer, all across
job.
The screen. Here. That's okay. They're all rolling in. I'm going to try to weave some of your questions in here. Remember, at the top of the hour, we're going to open up the line, and for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, we'll field your questions as well, real time. Let me see if I can weave in one question here. Rex says, how does MediaBid get paid on the Vantage 102 pay per scale? So maybe there's two questions I see in this, Jed. How does Vantage determine, or do you help them determine, you know, that price point? And then how does MediaBid participate in that? Let's address both questions. Does that make
okay,
sense?
So the way it works is, you know, especially in the beginning, it's a little bit of trial and error. You know, we want these advertisers to pay an amount that is going to make sense to them, because we want to be able to drive as much volume as possible. So we don't want to squeeze them too much on the price. However, obviously we want them to pay, you know, pay as much as possible. So in the case of Vonage, essentially what we're doing is we're, you know, they know what the value of an acquisition is, and they know what their close rate is, and, you know, they share that with us, and so it's a pretty simple calculation from there. We say, okay, you know, if a customer, you know, and most of them will look at a customer throughout, you know, usually the lifespan of a customer, so they know, for example, that a customer might be worth, you know, X number of dollars, because the average customer is a customer for, you know, 2.5 years type of thing. So they'll say, this is what a customer is worth, this is what we're willing to pay per acquisition, and the $102 basically is just division off of those two
mm-hmm.
numbers. As far as MediaBid, what we do is we get paid based on the number of – we get paid the same way that publications get paid. So if in the case of Vonage, and it's usually about 10%. So in the case of Vonage, if an advertiser, you know, if they're paying $102, I think we make, you know, like $110 or $111. So we get that $8 or $9 essentially off the top
okay.
of what the publication.
Okay, and the point that I'm making, and this relates to Rex's question, and there's a second part to that question, but the bottom line is that it also means that you have a vested interest in looking for good fits. That you want the ads to work, you want the publications to do well, because frankly, when they do well, if one publication gets, you know, 50 hits for Vantage, and we can move forward at 102, that's beautiful. That's $5,000. And if another one only gets 5, you know, the publication's not making money, nor are you making money. So the reality is everyone's got sort of that same vested interest in driving the revenue for the publications, yes?
Right. I mean, everyone – right, exactly. I mean, everyone – no one wins
right.
if you know, I mean, you can make the argument that on some level the advertiser wins because they got an ad and they didn't have to pay for it. But they're not getting response. I mean, that's not why they're doing it. You know, these are not companies that are in it for branding purposes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that takes us to the next part of the question. And please know that as we're fielding questions for one, while it might feel or sound like we're addressing their question, we know that each question might be serving 25 or 50 or 100 of you at the same time, okay? So, and I've run calls like this for the last 12 years, and when I've been able to open lines because our calls were smaller, it was evident that one person's question really served a whole handful of those on the calls. Thank you to all of you for your questions, because they're nice, you know, Jed, they're nice directional questions that we can embrace here.
Right.
But the second part of Rex's This question says, how can the publication be assured that the inquiry calculations are legitimate and the client does not fudge the real numbers? Now, I'd like to take the first half of that and just basically say, on a pay-per-call model, right?
Right.
It's obvious. You just can't count the click-throughs that are rolling through and off you go. On a pay-per-acquisition, though, or pay-per-sale, it's a little different, yes?
It is a little different, and it's and I'm not, you know, there's no easy answer. I think that in the case of Vonage, to use them as an example, and many large companies, basically the results that you're getting are from a call center. So the call center doesn't have a lot of reason. You know, they have no vested interest. I mean, I guess Vonage is paying their bills. You can make that argument. But the reports you're getting from them, usually nightly or weekly, you're getting at the same time that Vonage is getting them. You know, and it really becomes an issue of just trying to only get into per acquisition deals with companies that you feel you can trust, companies that you know to either be using a reputable third party call center that's going to give you information that is trustworthy, or in other cases, you know, making sure that they're going to tell you the truth.
Jed, let me make a comment, though. So, Rex, if a Vonage ad is running in your publication and for the last 3 or 4 months we're trucking along at, 50 sales and acquisitions being made, and then it goes to 5 or 0, there is no way Jed and his team are going to pause and accept that. The results in Rex's magazine, it's impossible. Or if we know across the system that all publications, newspapers, and magazines that are running that ad are all running between 30 and 60, you know, we're not accepting 3 in Seattle. Okay?
Right.
So there is a check and balance, and there is a proof source from that perspective. And frankly, at a point in time that Jed and his team no longer, you know, trust a relationship, guess what? They no longer have access to the trusted relationships that Jed has and that his team has with publications all over the world. So,
right. I mean, we just, you know, to sort of prove your point, I mean, we had this customer, and I think that there may have been some affected publications on this call, that we had this customer. It was just a wacky product. It was a cool thing. It was a automatic cat litter disposal system, and they ran in many publications, and they were per acquisition, and they got phenomenal phone calls. See, one of the things that sort of helps in this is that we can see the phone calls coming in. So even though we don't know the number of acquisitions, we know what the projected close rate is, and then we can just extrapolate off that. And if the close rate is, you know, if it's 3% below what the target number is, you know, that's sort of a understandable percentage. But if it's, you know, if it's 50% below the close rate, then you know something's up. And this company generated enormous volume of calls, and their close rate was horrible. Horrible. And, you know, and it turns out they had call center issues and they had all sorts of problems. And so we dropped them because in our mind, you know, the publications were doing their jobs and yet the call center wasn't, you know. There's no way that, there's no product that we're going to take that has a target close rate of, 1 or 2%, right? I mean, we want
right.
You know, and we're not going to, and we shouldn't let an advertiser like that do a cost per acquisition deal. You know, they should only be doing cost per call deals.
Absolutely. And along those lines, I want to clarify a point here. And that is, Steve wrote in and said, you know, we're a travel publication. Would pay per tracking device be effective for a small restaurant or a retail? The answer is absolutely yes. The tracking component, you need to kind of separate here. Your own advertisers, you need to be able to track by phone and web results, period. That's separate from pay for performance. Because in your next notice, it seems that the typical pay per lead are mistreated to call center type businesses. Let me just clarify, and Jed will clarify, when we're talking about putting ads or having ads in your publication, those like the Vonages, they have the call centers. They're the ones capturing the leads. So I just wanted to clarify that for Steve, but anybody else that's listening that might be confused or might be collapsing the two models together.
Right, okay. Right. I mean, you can use the response mechanisms we're talking about. You can use the 800 numbers and in some cases unique URLs. You can use those with you know, a restaurant, a pharmacy, you know, a florist, right? Because really what you're doing there is you're just giving yourself ammunition for when for the next time you go in to talk about an ad and they say that the ad didn't work that great, you could say, well, according to our reports, you know, it looks like you got, you know, 32 calls over the last 2 weeks, you know, and that chances are it's going to be better than they think it was. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, then, you know, you can talk about the, you know, perhaps the creative's not working, perhaps the, you know, the offer wasn't good. I mean, there's a variety of different reasons why an ad mm-hmm. wouldn't work. So that's sort of one part of it, just sort of the tracking mechanisms. Mm-hmm. The other part of it is, you know, this group of advertisers that sort of take it a step further, that say, okay, given these tracking mechanisms, that's how we're going to pay. That's what we're going to use to pay publications based on the responses generated.
Right, absolutely. So let me just pause here. I know, Jed, we have about 10, 12 minutes before the top of the hour. I want to shift gears and talk about point number three, okay? And again, I know we're going to field some questions, and, man, we've worked around this topic, and frankly, for those of you that are listening, we probably could be here for 4 or 5 hours. You know, we've tried to really extract the salient points. You know,
no one wants to listen to us for 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, okay, maybe 6 minutes more. No, but seriously, there's a lot of meat here, and I can tell, Jed, from the velocity of questions that just keep stacking up as we're rolling in here, but I'm trying to consolidate them to see where the common threads are. Point number three, though, let's talk just for a little bit about the pay-for-performance model in the publishing world, and what are some of the potential drawbacks, and tell us a little bit about what ads fit best, you know, within publications to generate the best and maximum income.
You know, this becomes the big question, right? If you're looking for the magic formula, you know, we want to get to a point where we know, okay, if we run LifeLock in a weekly publication, as a quarter page ad, with this circulation, we can anticipate this number of calls, and we can do that to some extent. But what makes it very difficult is that publications are so unique in their readership and in terms of their demographics that it becomes very, very hard to pinpoint perceived results in the same way that you can sort of pinpoint it on a website or even on radio, you know, where it's a little more generalized. So one of the things that publications really need to do, both for their own sales and also for when deciding whether or not to run an ad on a per inquiry basis, is really sort of do some soul searching about what the readers are like. You know, I mean, most publications you talk to, I'm sure with the publications on this call excluded, you know, will tell you that their readers are all rich and happy and beautiful and own big homes. You know, and that isn't necessarily the good, you know, but they're so trained to sort of describe their readers as being, you know, independent of the problems, which, you know, you can see and other data, you know, are evident in any community, that it doesn't really serve them well. I think that if publications better understood, you know, what the demographics of their readership was, and also better understood, you know, the type of readers that they appealed to, I think they would, you know, it would serve them well in both a conventional setting and a per inquiry setting.
All right. So certainly, listen, Jed, I know you also watch to see, I mean, you know, what, you know, how ads are performing, what the criteria is. And just so all of you know, I mean, this is an evolving science. There's an art and a science to what Jed is describing, and he and his team. Again, they want to earn the maximum for you because why? They are sharing in your direct success. What you wouldn't want to hear is Jed and his team just get a flat amount no matter what it is. whether you get paid or not. The reality is they got the same skin in the game. You know,
right.
That when if you get you know 50 calls that you're generating or 500 calls, hey, we want to know why we're getting 500, not 50, right?
Right. I mean, you know, to be a little more specific, I'm sort of being general. I mean, to be a little more specific, for example, you know, LifeLock appears to do well in, you know, appears to do better in non-urban areas. So weeklies and monthlies and in some cases dailies that are running in non-urban areas tend to be more effective with LifeLock than publications in urban areas. There appears to be about a 10% difference in response between a quarter page and a half page, and about a 5% difference in response between a half page and a full page, which I know sort of flies in the face of what a lot of people tell their advertisers. You know, it appears that people read smaller ads perhaps at a level that we wouldn't have anticipated. That doesn't mean it's right for everybody. I'm just saying in the context of LifeLock, that's what appears to be the case. But the same may not be true for Vonage. You know, for example, with Vonage, we see a much greater difference in the context of the ad size. So the ad size, the ad size generates larger ad sizes for Vonage generate a much higher response, sort of per thousand than larger ad sizes for LifeLock and many other customers.
Let me insert a question as well. I have a question from Jennifer. It says, do you see a way where media and advertisers can negotiate a base price per ad and add incentives to that price based on performance? Any hybrid or combination models out there?
Yeah, I mean, what we do occasionally, sort of with the blessing of the advertiser, is we'll give a guaranteed minimum, and then have either a per acquisition bonus or addition onto that, or a per call addition onto that, so that can work. The only problem sometimes becomes with the same companies that you want to trust. You know, the larger companies that are using third-party call centers and stuff, they're also the same companies that probably don't want to spend the time negotiating, 400 or 500 different deals.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that becomes a little bit of an issue. But absolutely, I think that there are a lot of different ways to structure these things. You know, some of which do a good job of protecting publications, and others which aren't as good.
Okay, I'm going to tuck in another question. Kim asks, is this something that a free small community magazine can take advantage of? Is it cost effective? We have about 20,000 readers each month, but most of our advertising is branded and community relations ads.
I'd have to know a lot more about your publication to sort of be able to hypothesize, but in terms of your demographics and readership and what type of ad you wanted to run.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, overall, we have just over 1,000 publications participating in this program, and overall about 40% of them achieve rate card or near prices. It can certainly be something which is cost effective, which is getting you the volume and the dollar amount that you hope for, but you have to choose wisely, because one of the big mistakes, real quickly, I know we're running out of time here, but one of the big mistakes that publications, I personally believe, make is that they get excited about the prospects of having a national brand in their publication, where maybe they're the type of publication that doesn't see those type of ads too often. So they get excited about a LifeLock or a DirecTV or a Vonage. And they run it, but perhaps it's not the best fit. You know, maybe they would be better off running a different ad, maybe with a little less mass appeal, but one that perhaps would perform a little better based on their readership and the demographics of their area. And that's where it sort of comes back to kind of knowing your readers and knowing what will resonate with them.
All right. Let's pause right here. No doubt we have covered a lot of information about this. No doubt, Jed, we promised to share an update since last year, and there's all kinds of new information that you provided with us today, for us today. So thank you very much. Really appreciate it. To all of you, we continue to host these calls on a monthly basis. Jed and I have been doing these on a wide variety of topics. You can go back and look at the URL that was sent to you on the confirmation. It shows you exactly the URL to go back and see the topics from 06, 07, and 08. Jed, it's always a pleasure. For those of you that would like to learn more about MediaBids, you can go right to MediaBids.com. You also saw that in the confirmation and the reminder. It's at the bottom of the email as well. My name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. For the work that I do, you can go to PowerHour.com, and you can see all of that work. And I know many of you that are on this call and have worked with a number of you as well. So thank you for being here. Jed, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to stop the recording, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk to all of you and explain to you what we're going to do and the way we're going to open up the line and be able to field some questions. So, Jed, just give me a moment, and I'll come back and give those instructions, okay?
Sure.